Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Blue Moon. You saw me standing alone.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. So the Premier League season has ended with Manchester City champions again. So that's three titles in a row and five in 6 years. A defeat at Brentford on the last day of the season ended a 25-match unbeaten run. How do we feel about that performance on Sunday? Is it, come on, second string side, nothing to play for, and we came away with no injuries, result? Or what are you doing, Pep? We need to maintain our winning streak, build the momentum, and why so many changes? We'll find out that from my three guests. We'll also review all the players who contributed to City's title success, and we'll look forward to the small matter of an FA Cup final at the weekend as well to discuss all that and much more. Welcome to Stato Paul Denby. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Nigel. Good to be here.
Welcome to Spencer Debson. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Nigel.
And welcome also to Lizo, Ian Lees. Hi, Lizo.
Hi, Bert. Hi, Nigel. Hi, all. Well done.
Good. Listen, let's start with that question then, Lizo. I've given you kind of two options. You're not allowed to kind of be piggy in the middle, sitting on the fence getting splinters in your ass. So is it, come on, second string side, nothing to play for, came away with no injuries, that's a result, or is it, come on, Pep, what are you doing? We need to maintain our winning streak, build the momentum. And why so many changes? Which one are you going for, Lizo?
You always put me on the spot, and you know me. I always go with the sitting on the wall one. I think it's a mixture of both, to be honest with you.
Come on, Lizo, so, you can't do that. You've got to pick one or the other.
Because Pep always has, he always wants to win every game. The problem is here, he's had reportedly a few injuries, so he couldn't play them, save them for the cup final. But also, he had a team there that could win. So, and they didn't, sadly. And also, we were playing in the brand new kit as well. So I have this third option, is didn't it go well with a brand new kit on? So I'd be love to hear what kit they're going to wear on Saturday, to be honest.
I think my understanding, they're reverting to the kit that they played in all seasons, by understanding, with the maroon collar. Yeah. So they're not going to play that for the two finals. Yeah, so that's what I understand. Yeah. Right, so Lizo's sitting on the fence, as always, knew he would. That's why I went to him first. So I'm going to get a proper answer from Stato Paul Denby. Which one is it, Paul?
He played the right team for that match because it didn't really matter. Injuries are more important, or not getting injuries, than playing a team that could get any results from that match, which was totally and utterly irrelevant. Brentford played us from their perspective. They did a double over us. The reason they did the double over us was the timing of the matches. Last game of the season, totally irrelevant to City, and they played us their match before the World Cup break, and then a lot of players' minds were elsewhere. That's the player's fault, but well done, Brentford, but I don't really care.
But what about this whole idea of building momentum, the M word, everybody talks about it. We're going into an FA Cup final having lost. the match fitness of those players as well. Yeah, you've got to rest people, but surely he's got to keep people match fit as well. How do you stand on that before I come to Spencer? Because he's going to give me a straight answer as well, unlike Lizzo, who always sits on the fence.
Well, my view is this. Apparently, before our match 2 years ago, I know we don't want to talk about it, where we lost the Champions League final, but we'll just mention it. We went to that on the back of a 5-0 win. So let's look at it that way. Doesn't really matter. Momentum's there from the past. The players that will play in the cup final on Saturday, I would guess maximum 3 players that played on Saturday, and then for the Champions League, about the same again. So the momentum is with the key players that will partake in the two finals.
Spencer, which one are you going for?
These are all statistical niceties, aren't they? I mean, it was completely irrelevant. And I think Pep sort of, didn't he say at the end of it in the press conference that he even wanted to rest Walker, but he couldn't because of these injuries and niggles. So in some sense, sort of slightly picked itself. You know, Diaz, Grealish and KDB were out because of sort of various niggles. I think we played all right, didn't we? It was one of those things. In some ways, it's good not to be focusing on how many wins and all these sorts of things. We're fine. Our mentality is great, and we're ready for Saturday.
And I agree, because this whole, I actually don't think I want to go in sort of having like 26 or 27 wins. I mean, because you've got to lose sooner or later. So in a way, I'm quite glad we got that out of our system, actually. I think it suits me. I mean, as you say, it's all about statistics. Lisa, yeah, go on.
Nigel, it's the FA Cup final. Let's look at the stats for the FA Cup final. We got into the FA Cup final with not a loss, not conceded a goal. So there you go. Forget the Premier League. That's done and dusted. That was done 2 weeks ago. So the FA Cup, we're on track for.
Brilliant. All right. Well, let's just talk about the Brentford game very, very briefly. We haven't got to speak. It was a bit of an irrelevance, as you say. Well done to them. They've done the double over us. Your thoughts, Stato, about the game? Anything particularly to report? Anything stand out for you that's worthy of mention before we celebrate and talk about the amazing season we've had winning yet another Premier League? But just let's sort of tick off the Brentford game quickly if we can.
Yeah, it's a difficult ground to get to, I'll tell you that. It's not... The performance wasn't great. We had a lot of players who hadn't played regularly. They looked okay for the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then in patches for a few minutes here and there. But they seemed not to quite have their heads there. Foden was in it. Lewis had a decent first half in particular. Palmer tried but didn't quite come off. He missed a very good chance after they'd scored as well, which probably he should have scored. But I couldn't lose any sleep over it. It was a performance that possibly I was anticipating before watching the game.
Some mentioned, Spencer, that if we had Stefan Ortega in goal, that you would have saved that one. And another of those... shots that Ederson didn't stop. Where do you stand on that one? Is that a bit unkind, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's very unkind, actually. I think Ederson's had a great... We'll get on to the players. I think he's had a great season. So, no, I think that's very harsh in all circumstances. Nigel's very harsh.
And anybody else stand out for you? Anybody worthy of note? I mean, Stato's given us a few. Anybody else you want to mention? I suppose we will come on to players. I mean, to be fair, Calvin Phillips did start. He's not had many starts. I think he's only his second start. Would that be right, I think, for City? So your thoughts on him? I know we'll wrap everything up just in the context of this game. An opportunity for him to start 2 games running. How did he impress you? Are you worried about him? Has he got the quality that we need, you think?
I actually think he gets a bit of a rap, doesn't he, from City fans, and he's obviously had very, very limited opportunities this season. But I actually think he's a good player in waiting, and I know he's had issues and criticisms, but I think he will come good once given the opportunity. And of course, he's going to get limited opportunities while Rodri is in his imperious form. But I think he will settle in to be a useful City squad addition, and maybe in due course we'll get a proper run in the team.
So finally, Lizzo, from you, your thoughts on the Brentford game before we move on to our review of the season.
I think the positive out of the Brentford game was the lad Charles coming on to make his debut. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that was the third start for Phillips, because didn't he start the Southampton quarter-final game?
Oh, yeah, well? So it's the second Premier League start, I think, is where I was going with that. Yeah, no, I think he probably started three. Yeah, sure.
He's got attributes, the long ball he plays to Foden and over the top is sublime. Totally different player to Rodri. But whether he's a Man City player, I think, let's see next season on that one. But overall, I don't think we can complain about Brentford. It was one of them games. It was just, let's go through the routine, get out of there, and now on to the two big ones.
All right, so we've won the league. We will come to the FA Cup final in a moment, but let's just focus on this Premier League season then, Spencer. Winners again. We were in second place, so what was it, 99.999 recurring percent of the season or whatever the statistic is. I can't quite remember it. And just they fell off a cliff and City just had a fantastic end of season run, built that momentum that we touched on earlier on. And what a season. Just in terms of the season as a whole, what has given you most pleasure, do you think, from this season? What is it about this team, this club, another Premier League that gives you particular satisfaction?
Well, I think it's an ability to do whatever it takes, actually. And this season was particularly difficult, wasn't it, with the World Cup in the middle. We didn't get off to a very good start at all. And I think pre-World Cup, I don't think anybody was thinking that we were going to go and win the title this year. And all the focus was on the Champions League. We'd won it the two seasons prior, et cetera. And it was sort of not talked up. But I think our ability to sort of reconvene and really get into our stride when it's required is absolutely outstanding. And I think especially in the second half of the season, all of 15, 16, 17 players, they were all at a high performance level. And so I think that was what was particularly satisfying. And also at the end, we ended up winning it by 5 points. And yes, Arsenal had a sort of mini collapse, and clearly that's part of it. But our ability to sort of hone in, like Seb Coe coming around the final bend and then to put on the afterburners when required, yet again, having won it multiple times, in the last 4 or 5 years, was very, very impressive. And I think it sits to many, many things. But Pep's management, he seems to have gone up yet another notch this season. I can't quite define the detail behind that, but he seems more relaxed and he seems just very, very at the very top of his game. And we're all benefiting.
I mean, one thing that has changed this year, of course, and I know we'll talk about individuals, is that last year, of course, we played pretty much most of the season with a false nine, Lizo, didn't we? And, of course, we've got this certain bloke who's come in called Haaland, who has meant a lot of people early on, and Spencer made the point, so we didn't make a great start. A lot of people were saying that it's because we're having to play in a different way with Haaland. And what's your interpretation of that? Were you worried at that point, or did you have confidence you knew he was a proven goal scorer and it would all come right? How were you feeling at that point when we weren't doing so well and everybody was talking about Arsenal as nailed on champions at one point?
Yeah, it's typical City, isn't it? I have a totally different view on everything now with City. In the old days, as you know, if City, you'd panic. Now, we go 2-0 down and I'm just sitting there waiting for the three goals to go into beating 3-2. But that's Pep's way. Taking on what Spencer said, it's the whole squad. They seem to, it doesn't matter where you play them. We've turned John Stones into a midfield player. We've turned Nathan Aki into a left back. We'll have Stefan Ortega centre forward next year. It's that ability that Pep's got to turn these players into world-class and flexible players as well. And I think that's got us through the season. And bearing in mind, a lot of people say, we've got the biggest squad. We don't have a big squad. Pep doesn't like working with big squads, and what he gets is the best out of his squad, to be honest with you. So, I think overall it's a big squad effort.
And Stato, that's it, isn't it? It's the fact that when you look at a side that sort of wins a Premier League, then wins another and goes on and then wins another one, the desire that's needed to lift those players again, to go again and to be the best again, that just shows what a fantastic manager he is.
Of course it does. He's done that, as we say, 3 years on the run, 5 years in six, refreshed the squad as necessary, changed the style of play to accommodate Haaland, which has worked, maybe took a little bit of time to bed in, but there again, why not? and we are relentless in our pursuit of winning trophies. He puts good teams out in every single match, whether it's the third round of the Carabao Cup or the third round of the FA Cup or whatever it is. He wants to do as well as possible in every competition. That's why we're on the verge of potentially doing a treble. It's fantastic. Loved every minute of it. Yes, we've had a couple of blips on the way, but don't care.
Well, it's not a big squad, but there's a lot of names I've got down here on my sheet here to sort of talk through. So let's start then. I don't mind where we start. At least you can start, and you're probably not going to sit on the fence on this one. You might well give us a straight answer if I say your player of the season. Then sort of pick him out, who you'd go for, and give us a mark out of 10 and just a couple of lines on him, and then the others can pitch in. So your player of the year, are you going to go for the obvious one or not?
It's a difficult, to be honest with you, it's a difficult one, that, because there's so many outstanding players, and that's why we've won the Premier League. But for me, names on a sheet that first appear, Rodri. He's the biggest unsung hero we've got. He's just so cool and calm. Nathan Ake, John Stones, they've all played in positions now that they shouldn't have played. And I just want to make one final point. The way Pep works is so inspiring that we forget now the younger teams have won again their Premier League trophies. So it's the culture throughout the club now that's got us to where we are. And it long may continue, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure who you've named, Lisa. You've named three players here. I'm not sure which one. Again, you're sitting, are you sort of hedging your bets? Can you give me your player of the year, please, Lisa? You've mentioned three names, Rodri, Ake and Stones, I think were the three. Yeah, is that what you said? Were those three that you said? Yeah. You didn't mention KDB or Haaland. You could go through them all if you like. So which is your player of the year? I thought if these questions are too difficult, I can make them easier if you like.
They're not difficult, Nigel.
So what's the fucking answer then? Who is your player of the year then, Lisa?
The answer is the Manchester City team. But I'll give you a name. But I'll give you, if it shoots you up, I'll give you a name.
Yes.
Rodri.
Thank you.
Rodri.
I love you, Lisa. Thank you very much. Delighted to hear it. Right, let's have a line on Rodri then, Spencer. And your thoughts?
Oh, Lisa, you took my mine's Rodri as well. And actually, the criteria is that I thought, how do I answer this question sensibly? Because it's obviously so many. It's obviously Haaland. Who is the one player that if you took them out of that squad and they're just not there, who's the one that would be the most impactful in terms of us not getting the results that we have got? That player has to be Rodri. So he might not be, you know, there's various criteria, but that was the criteria I applied anyway. I mean, you know, everything starts with him and everything stops with him. You know, he really is the complete player, very unsung in many ways by non-City fans because they don't see exactly what he does. But you go to any game and watch him, he is in absolutely everything, and every attack sort of invariably goes through him one way. It could be a little pass, could be a spray pass, could be, you know, he is the focal point who I think we would have missed the most. So with that criteria, Mr. Rodri.
It's really interesting. The seven regular listeners to this podcast will know that Fernandinho has, in the recent years, has been my favourite player and kind of comes close to Colin Bell. He's just been magnificent. And when he left, I thought, how are we going to get by? But suddenly Rodri has just been magnificent. And I kind of welcome comments from both of you. A quick comment from you then, Stato, and then you can give us your next player on the list after Rodri. So quickly on Rodri and then give us your next shout before Lizo gets involved again and gives us three more players and still doesn't give us a proper answer.
I'm going to be very boring. I also had Rodri. I scored each player. I gave Rodri 9.5 out of 10 and very closely followed by Ake. Rodri, for exactly the same reasons that Spencer said, that if you took him out of the team, we are a weaker team. Ake, you can take out the team because Akanji's filled in at left back and have done a fantastic job as well. So I'd say mine is Rodri, followed closely by Ake, and then followed by Haaland. Those are my three in order for the top.
So let's just do a couple lines on Ake, because again, I think I declared last week that you get an email from the club, don't you, giving you opportunity to vote for your player of the year. And I shared with the seven listeners that Ake got my vote because I just think he's never let us down. He's adapted And I think he's just he scored some important goals. I think he's been outstanding all season. So I just love the job that Ake's done. Spencer, your thoughts on Ake?
Well, he's fabulous. I mean, it's very difficult. When you say player of the season, you know, it depends on what layer you put on.
You're sounding like Lizzo now. Come on, just answer the question. You sound like
Lizzo. I have answered it. You know, I haven't. This is the follow-up question. I feel like I'm at sort of PMQs now. Ake, the bar was set at a sort of as a squad player, wasn't it, when he came in? And he's
exactly.
He soon showed his I was just going to say soon showed his spurs then, I better not say that. He soon showed his worth, and then he sort of improved and really started to impress us. I forget the game, there's always a marquee game with players, isn't there, where you think, wow, we've really got someone special here. Someone will remind me, because it was a Champions League game. But he he's never made a mistake for City. I don't honestly recall one mistake that he's ever made, and he's always done the job. Outstanding player.
Lizzo, your thoughts on, if it's not too difficult, I'll try to help you here. Ake, Nathan Ake, came from Bournemouth, you remember, yeah? Thoughts on him, just him, don't mention anybody else, just mention Ake and give us two sentences on Ake. Off you go, go now.
I'm more than happy to talk to you about Nathan Ake, because I think he is top there. I think he's adapted well, bearing in mind at Bournemouth he was a centre-back. We've now used him at left back, but more to the point, which people miss out on him, he's that left hand side has always been a problem for us, always since we lost David Silva. And he's come in with left back. They put Jack Grealish on the left wing, and he's linked with Jack very well, to the point where he scored a goal from the left. He scores with vital goals on the far post when the set pieces are. He defends very well, tracks back brilliantly. Very close to Rodri in my player of the season, to be honest with you.
But brilliantly, I love you more than you realise. In terms of Erling Haaland, none of you have mentioned, there were people listening to this thinking, what on earth are you talking about? He has won every single award going, young player, old player, middle-aged player, golden boot, you name it, he's won it. So, Stato, why are you missing out Haaland here then? What's he done to upset you?
Done absolutely nothing to upset me. But if you took Haaland out of the City team, we still score a lot of goals. We might not win the odd game that could be very, very important. You can't tell that. That's very difficult. But we scored as many goals this season, I think I said this on a previous podcast, as we did last season. It's just they were much more spread around last season. Haaland's a fantastic finisher. I marked him as a 9 because in recent games, he's missed a couple of chances. And that's very, very harsh of me. I know that. And I hope he's got his finishing boots on for Saturday and then the following Saturday as well, because the chances, who knows how many chances we get, but we've got to take those chances because we know what happens if we don't. So that's the reason. It's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely fantastic.
Lizzo, it's been an amazing first season for him as in the Premier League. A lot of players take a season to get used to it. He hit the ground running. I think he missed a chance in the... I remember everybody will remember the smile in the Community Shield, of course, and he just smiled to himself thinking, you just wait. And what a first season, what a player, what a finisher. He's the complete footballer, isn't he?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wouldn't say he's a complete footballer. I'd say he's the complete finisher. I know from what Stato was saying, he's missed a couple. But some of the chances he's taken, you know, the scissor kick, the heading of the ball, he's just one enormous striker that knows where the goal is. And I think it's a bit unfair for everybody to single out Haaland, because Manchester City are a team. They're not a single player. And like we did last season, we didn't have a number nine. Everybody said we won't win the league without a number nine. We went and did it as a team. This year, we've got a number nine. And like you said, it's his first season. God help teams next season if it follows suit, because he'll score 100 goals next season if that's the case. But we'll wait and see. But he's part of a team, and he's done his job, to be honest with you, and he's done it well.
Spencer, praise indeed from Lizzo.
Who is the one player you would like to have in your team if you're in a cup final? Bush, Erling Haaland. And we've got two of them coming up. Enough said.
Let's look at the goalkeeper then. We've got two goalkeepers. Let's do those two together then. Spencer, kick off for us. You can choose it. We've obviously got Edison and we've got Stefan Ortega. What marks out of 10? Because Ortega's come into the FA Cup games, played a couple of league games as well. Give them both a mark out of 10 for us then, for those two, would you?
I've set my stall out that 8 out of 10 is had a brilliant, an excellent season. So I'm going to say a 9 for Edison. I think he's never let us down in multiple games where he's not had much to do, and then he's had to come out with something at the end or tip something over or shot stop, you know, which is historically has been sort of criticised for. So I give him a 9. Ortega. I suppose we've seen him mostly in the FA Cup. Looks solid. Looks an upgrade on Zach Steffen. I'll give him an 8.
Okay. Stato, what do you want to add then from the goalkeeping front?
I gave them both an 8. I thought Ortega's done very, very well in the cup matches. Not conceded a goal in any cup game in the FA Cup as well. So we're going to the final on Saturday without having conceded a goal. Not done for over 100 years by any other team. And Edison, I gave him an 8 because occasionally you think could have done a little bit better there, could have saved that. But he's not let us down recently. He's made some fantastic saves recently against Bayern Munich. He made a couple of good saves against Real Madrid. He made a couple of good saves in the away match. So, yeah, Edison is a solid 8, and I've got the same view. If you get an 8, you've had a very, very good season.
Lizzo, cover our keepers for us.
9.5 for Edison, 9.5 for Ortega, and 10 for Carson.
Carson gets a good press. He's just signed a new deal as well, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah. What good news that is for City fans all over the world. Yeah, Carson gets a new contract. A very popular guy in the dressing room, I understand. A real influence, I think, is my understanding. But doesn't play many games, but clearly a big character and means a lot to the club. So bring it on. Fantastic. All right, we've done the two keepers, and we've only done one striker, one midfielder, and one defender. So, Lizzo, I'm going to chuck a name at you. You've mentioned him already, I think. John Stones. What a season. What a footballer. What a transformation. What a buy.
Yeah.
What a hero.
And do you know something? It's funny when we were talking before about Rodri. Rodri's probably the most difficult player to replace. We thought Calvin might do it. It didn't happen. But do you know, I think John Stones could do that position. That's my thought, because he's so adaptable. He's got the physique. He's got the skill. He's got everything about him. So, he's just a good player, very good player, John Stones. And we can't say he's a bad player at all. I just think he's been great. And he scored and won the goal as well for us.
He did. Spencer, John Stones, a few words on him.
I've actually gone 10 for John Stones. And the reason is because, he came to us as an England international, didn't he, from Everton, a sort of a player in the making. He sort of settled in at a certain level. Then things went bad for him. I think there was some off the field issues. And you sort of forgot about him in many ways for about 18 months. And then he's come back and since then gone on this ever-improving track. And he's now, he's had an incredible season. The way he's adapted, the way he's adapted to this sort of inverted role from right back, from centre back, the confidence, the authority that he has on the pitch. Agree with what Lizzo said there. He's had an incredible season and deserves to be called as one of the true standouts of this season.
Stato, brief word on John Stones and you can pick the next one.
I'm obviously a very harsh marker. I only gave him a 9. but I think he's done had a fantastic season. He's shown his versatility too, which is very important in our squad and our team. So well done, John Stones, and 9 out of 10. You said I can choose the next one. I'm going to choose Rico Lewis as a player. He's not played a tremendous number of league games, but he's played a fair number. He's played in the cup games as well. And I'd like to give him, for the performances that he's done, for the age that he's at as well, I'm going to give him a 9 as well, because I think he's come into that team and done incredibly well with stars around him, but they've not shone in his eyes. He's shone outwards as well. And I think he's had a fantastic few games, those that he's played, and come on as a substitute, and definitely one for the seasons ahead. Great.
And I can't quite believe, is he just 18? Is that right? Is that how old he is? I mean, the maturity he plays with, he looks like he's been in that side for years. Your impressions of Rico Lewis then, please, Lizo?
Star in the making, of course, with the guidance of Pep. Again, it's just slotted inside, as though he's been there forever, to be honest with you. So he can only improve, of which I'm sure he will.
Rico Lewis, Spencer, and then you can choose the next one.
Same. I mean, you know, when you hear these players being interviewed after the game, he's 18 years old. I mean, I know they all have media training and everything, but the authority and the sort of way they articulate is fantastic. And he's got just the right accent as well. He's a northern lad. He's come in. He's done really well. He's strong. You know, often in the first season, he's obviously not a big guy, and you know, players get knocked off the ball. He's super strong. And excited to see him for the future for sure. Had a really good season.
Pick your next player then for us.
Let's go. Are we staying in defence? Are we?
It's up to you. You have the choice. I'm giving you a free choice. Free hit.
Give it half. Oh, well, that's it then. Kevin De Bruyne.
Off you go.
We barely mentioned him, guys, and we're sort of going through. What an incredible season he's had. I think, though, for him, it really has been, in a way, a season of two halves, because we've become accustomed to a high level of operation. He's clearly a world-class player, has been for a number of years. So you come in with that sense of expectation. And I think it's, again, fair to say, in the earlier part of the season, he didn't fire all the time. Obviously capable of great moments that we sort of come to expect. But there was also some, quite a lot of misplaced passes in certain games. And I think at one point, Pep called him out in public, which is a very unusual thing to do. And all of a sudden, it seemed to be a catalyst. I don't know exactly what it was. But from that moment on, he has been operating at a very high level most of the time. And he now becomes, he's world class. I mean, there's not much more one can say. I've given him a 9 because we know what he's capable of. He just got the Playmaker Award, I think, didn't he, with 16 assists.
I didn't even know there was such a thing. I must have missed this. But he's like, he's won it so many times that the one award that Haaland didn't win, but he's won it 3 times. Exactly. So it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Stato, KDB, what more is there to say? You've given him a 10, haven't you? I know.
No, because I'm a harsh marker.
Exactly.
I gave him an 8 because he's...
An 8?
Yes.
Are you watching the same KDB as me, Stato?
I hope so. I'm a harsh marker, though. I think he's... In some games, he's not delivered to the high standards that we know he's capable of doing. That's why Pep had a go at him earlier in the season. You don't measure it on recent performances. Measuring it over the whole season, he wasn't there in some games, particularly early on in the season. And he came back into it. If you were to ask me, measuring on maybe 4 or 5 games towards the end of the season, I'd give him a 9. But measuring over the whole season, I'm only giving him an 8 because he's not quite been as great as I've seen him in the past.
All right. And Lizo, I'm not sure if he's falling asleep or nodding in agreement, but he's certainly nodding there. I think you're agreeing with Stato then, are you? You look at it over a season, he's not been as great.
Yeah. KDB is one of these. He came as an average player. Became a good player in his first season, then a brilliant player in his second season. And he's got to, the one thing that KDB's got to try and maintain now is that level of world-class play. And I think this year was a bit difficult because he went to the World Cup and he came back from the World Cup not the same player as when he went into it. So whether that affected him or not, he's coming back to form, but it's maintaining that if you like, 10 out of 10 level, that world-class level for him now, because we know what he can do. We know what he's capable of. But he'll always put that one ball through that give you a goal.
All right. You've got a choice then, Lizzo. You're going to go defence. We're done the keeper. You're going to go defence, midfield or attack. Where are you going next?
Can I go Jack Grealish?
You can indeed, my friend, of course.
Yeah. Jack's impressed me this year, or the second half of this year. He's the one player that... we were all a bit dubious about, with the price tag always was always being mentioned, but then all of a sudden he became good with that Nathan Ake on the left, and he's gotten a lot of assists this year as well, and he drew defenders away from their positions, leaving open spaces for other players to come in. He's matured as a player, he's matured as a person, and I think next season he'll even be better. I think the only thing he's short of now is a goal a game.
All right, Spencer?
Well, goal a game, blimey, that you're not. It's a bit of a high bar, so. That's all. And then Erling can have like 1.3 goals a game, and we'll be all right then, won't we? Jack Grealish, yeah. This is his coming out season, isn't it? He's really grown in confidence, and his, you know, he came from Villa, didn't he, where he had a sort of a free reign, and he was the go-to guy, and the team was built around him. And it must have been difficult for him. He's clearly a very talented player, but to come and then, you know, slot into the City system. But he always does it. He always seems to be a guy with good humour and you know, the right sort of attitude. And I think now he's got sort of Pep's trust, and, you know, his form has improved, his distribution has improved. And I thought, you know, like when he, I forget the game, when he teed it up for the scissor kick, for the Haaland scissor kick, you know, that was a very, could have done different things there. He's in control of the situation, rarely wastes a pass, and has clearly got, you know, the free skill to beat players. Played brilliantly against Real in the semi. So yeah, a really vastly improved season. I gave him a 9.
I'm really looking forward to see what Mark Stato gave, having doing a full season and it being, and being a tough marker. Was it more than 4 or 5? Maybe where did he go, Stato, for Jack Grealish then?
I gave him a 6. No, I didn't. I gave him 8.5. And the reason was, again, first half, he was still not quite as good as we would have hoped he was going to be. Second half, he's been absolutely brilliant. He's kept Foden out of the team, which takes some doing as well. So I'm looking forward to him next season. If he continues the way he's performed in the second half of the season, no doubt he can do it. He's been brilliant. But I gave him 8.5.
Okay. Lizzo.
Sorry, Nigel. I just wanted to make one point, and nobody's mentioned it. The play or the move of the season was when Jack Grealish ran 80 yards back to stop Mo Salah scoring. Mm-hmm. That I'll never forget, because that was just unbelievable. And I don't think you could score the best goals in the world, but that was just pure class.
It's a great point. Brilliant point. Okay, let's talk about Phil Foden then. He's just been mentioned. Lizzo, do you want to kick off then on Phil Foden?
Yeah, Phil's again been like Kevin. He's had one of these up and down seasons, and it's a shame, because coming back from the England a bit, he was just hitting some form, confidence was high, and he'd obviously had to have his appendix out. And it's like everything else with a player. When you're on that form, the last thing you want is to get an injury or a layoff, because then it's really hard to then come back into it. And I think what Pep's done over the last few games is giving game time to get back into that form. And it's just a shame about Phil, because we know what he can do. We know what he's like. And I think he will come back to it. I think next season will be his season again.
Stato?
Pretty much the same, to be honest. I think he's been, when he's played, he's had some great games. Against Brentford on Sunday, he was good. He runs at players. I like him sometimes when he plays behind Haaland, behind the striker, rather than necessarily on the wings. So, yeah, Foden, we know what he's capable of. Been a bit unfortunate with the appendix at the timing, because he was in real good form at that time. I'd like to hope that he's going to play at least one of these two finals, because he deserves it and he's a brilliant player. Again, I gave him an 8.5 if you want to score.
Okay. And finally, Spencer on Foden, briefly.
Yeah, more limited this season, wasn't he? But the last half dozen games, he's right back on it. I doubt he'll start, but he is a fantastic player to have on the subs bench, and would have total confidence if he started.
I've got 10 names written down, and I'm very conscious of the time, so I want to have one line from each of you on each. So keep it brief, please. I'm going to call them out, and I'm going to have one line each. So, Manuel Akanji, Stato, one line, and a mark, if you like.
Great player, particularly since the World Cup, and has come on leaps and bounds, 8.5.
Okay, Spencer, Kyle Walker.
8 is an improving form with renewed focus on the pitch rather than at the bar.
Lizzo, Bernardo.
10.
Oof. And the one-liner to go with your 10?
10 out of 10.
That's it. That's your one-liner. Lovely. We're moving on. Calvin Phillips, Spencer.
8, work in progress.
Cole Palmer, Stato.
7. Needs to really step up next season. He's got some good, he's got capability, but needs to deliver something next season.
Lizzo, Julian Alvarez.
Oh, 10 out of 10. Again, I would always give the whole team 10 out of 10, to be honest with you.
Your marking and Stato's marking is brilliant. Stato's 7. Well, listen, Lizzo, 10. Give them all 10.
Listen, we've just won the Premier League 5 out of 6 times. How can you give them 8 and 6? That is an achievement.
Stato can. He's a tough marker.
Listen, I'd give this the kit man 10 out of 10 for what he's done.
Stato, Riyad Mahrez.
7. delivers sometimes, but drifts out of games so many times and doesn't do anything. Though when he delivers, fantastic, but he's not in Pep's first 11 at the moment. There's a reason.
Right, here's your opportunity, Spencer.
Say anything, Nigel. 10.
I'm waiting for this. You can say 10. And what a player. What a buy. What a contribution. Ilkay Gundogan.
Gundogan. Absolutely incredible, and has stepped it up even more this season. 10 out of 10.
How many did you give him, Stato, just as an interest? What mark, honestly, did you give Ilkay Gundogan? Just out of interest, just so we can all understand your tough marking.
8.5.
Oh, for God's sake, seriously?
Yeah, to get a 10, you've got to be... This is as a team, I will give us 10 out of 10. Picking on Lizzo's point, as a team, 10 out of 10. We're now focusing on individuals. Individuals aren't 10 out of 10 in every single game. Gundogan has had some relatively poor games occasionally. He scores fabulously important goals, but take games against, all right, you might not think it was important, Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, or the odd game here and there. He just doesn't deliver what we know he's capable of. So that's why 8.5.
Nigel, I've got it. Paul is like the Craig Revel Horwood. Strictly Come Dancing. Off
yes.
The That's
yes.
what it is. And Lito is the Bruno Tonioli.
Well, whatever his surname is.
Oh, yeah. That one.
That one, the Bruno one. Yeah.
I know the programme, but I don't watch it, so I don't know who you're referring to. So
it's a compliment, Paul. It's a compliment.
No, it's not. It's not a compliment.
Either way, it doesn't bother me.
I just don't get how can you get 10 out of 10 for a team and only 8 out of 10 for individually?
Not one person's got 10 as far as Stato is concerned. I'm loving this. Right, Lizzo, we've got a few more to go. Sergio Gomez, here's an interesting one for you.
I still give him a 10.
That sums it all up then, doesn't it?
Listen, if the kit man got a 10, that's a fair statement.
Listen, he's part of a team. When he's come in, he's done well. The last few games, when he played in the semi-final against Sheffield United, I thought the second half, he had a great second half. He's a nice lad. He works well. He's trained
Give him 10.
Well.
He's a nice lad. Give him 10.
10.
Give him 10. Give them all 10. Stato, I'm having a lot of fun tonight. Stato, I want you to give me a mark for this. I want to know what you gave Sergio Gomez, whether he got above halfway or not. I'm going to say, only just 5. That's to
Because mark. I'm sorry, if you want my honest opinion on Gomez, he's not good enough to play for City in the long term. That's my view.
All right. I'm Eric Laporte then, please, Spencer.
We'll go eight, because he's been in and out this season. But when he has come back, he's looked the absolute thoroughbred that he is. And incredible to think, not so long ago, he was our he was a bit of our saviour in defence. And now he's one of five fantastic defenders. Eight.
Amazing. Have I missed anybody? I probably have.
Yes. Ruben.
I've written him down. He's between Kyle Walker and John Stones. Well done. I've missed him on my list. He is certainly written down. Ruben Diaz. Apologies. Well done. Thank you for that. So, yeah, go on then, Stato, just for a laugh.
Nine.
Lisa, what did you give him? Hold on a minute. Let's just see if we can work. Lisa, what did you give him?
10. He's a leader. He's a leader. He's an absolute. When he's in defence, you don't do anything. He should be the. You know, I know they've had Ilkay as a club captain this year, and quite right. But Ruben is certainly going to. You don't mess with him. If he tells you to do something, you do it. And, you know, if you look at him, he's just a world class defender, winner, leader, everything. So, 10.
10, absolutely. Listen, let's look forward to the FA Cup final. I'm scared shitless. I never like playing them in any game ever. So let's just have a few thoughts and reflections ahead of that game. Spencer, we'll all be there. Everybody on this show.
Yes,
Most of the people who come on, I'm sure you will. So your thoughts ahead of this one, Spencer. What are your thoughts? What sort of team does he play? What sort of game do you expect? What are your expectations ahead of the game at the weekend?
I share your nervousness. I mean, we do default. We're of a certain generation, aren't we? So we do default to that sort of mode when things are unclear. And I think, dare I say it, this will be a tougher game than the Champions League final. I hope I don't get playback that will show something different. But it's a very, very different United team to the team we played earlier on in the season when we murdered them. They did beat us in the league. They're a much improved team under Ten Hag. And for all the reasons we know, they will be very, very keen to win this game and not take away their own legacy. So it's a perfectly poised match for the neutral. I quite like to not be. Can I sort of support Luton just for this one game or something, like, so I can actually enjoy it? But it's obviously going to be a very tense affair. But looking forward to it, I do think that we will take some. We're a team that's very, very hard to beat. I think it will be close, but I do think we will prevail. I think it will take moments of magic to break the deadlock. But two close, quite closely matched teams in the context of a one-off cup match, and I'm excited and looking forward to it, and nervous.
And Stato, they'll want to win this one. You know, for them, if they win this, it's a good season for them. They're in the Champions League. They've won two domestic cups. It's a good season for them, a really good season, and they will certainly not want us to win the treble, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of desire on their part because, as you say, so they won both domestic cups if they prevail on Saturday, and they're in the Champions League, and they've stopped us doing the treble. Possibly that last one means even more to club MU than it does to the players. The players just want to win a trophy. We're the better team, simple as that. Put our 11 out there. There's only one player that plays for Stretford that I would ever consider could play for City, and that's Rashford. Would get in our squad stroke team. None of the others would touch us. They're just not good enough. So we are the better team. If we're on our game, we win, but I'm as nervous as hell going into it.
And how does Pep set us up then, Lizo? What does he need to do? Any thoughts of the team again ahead of this? Bearing in mind a week later, we've got the Champions League final as well. Your thoughts ahead of the cup final?
Yeah, I think he'll do what he did against Arsenal. We played them three times. Mikel Arteta knows how Pep works. What he did, he changed it all. He played three different ways, three different times. With United, I think he'll do the same. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. As a City fan, I'm nervous as anything. On the day, you know what it's like. I've watched United a couple of times in the last few weeks, and you've got Fernandes diving all over the place. You've got the speed of Garnacho. The back four don't look as good as it used to be. So Mike Haaland might. The only person I would have said Haaland would be frightened of was that Martinez, but I think he's not going to be playing. And again, it depends what goalkeeper turns up, whether it's De Gea the brilliant or De Gea the clown.
you know, again, it's one of them, and you've all said it, it's all one of them games, what happens on the day. If you look at paper, you look at the facts and figures over the season, City should win it. But it's not like that with a derby, is it? They'll want to beat us just to stop us doing the treble. They'll want to beat us for their own season. We'll want to beat them for the same reasons. So, yeah, it's an interesting game. I can't see there being too many goals in it, or it'll be a goal in it, maybe even penalties.
Amazing. I've really enjoyed it this week. Thanks to my three guests, who the marks out of 10 I will give them is Stato Paul Denby gets 7.5, Spencer Debson gets 9, and Lizo gets 10. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.